The next few weeks of Shir is where we get to learn just how little we understood when we were in sixth grade, right? That's El Matzias was no. And how many of you did not start Gemara with El Matzias? Oh, a few of you didn't. What did you start with? Brachas. That makes a little more sense, actually. Brachas also. Okay. What? Yeah, we started in fifth grade in South Shore with Eilu Matzias as Rabbi Sharchon. Okay, so anyway, so Eilu Matzias is a challenging parak. Of course, anyone who went through sixth grade and learned Eilu Matzias in sixth grade knows that the sugya you spend most of the year on is the sugya of Yerush Lomidas, because it's like over a daf of Gemara, and it just goes through raya after raya after raya. And in that sense, I mean, there are many ways that Eilu Matzias is a good way to teach how Gemara works a little bit, but the idea that there's one central sugya and we just bring one raya and reject it, another raya, reject it, like that's very very helpful. So we're gonna what I'm gonna ask you to do in general is try to learn through the first sugya, basically, meaning the Yeish Lo Midas sugya, which starts in Chaf Aleph Beis, and go through a number of the rayas, and we'll see how many of them we actually focus on. But today, what we're going to do is just sort of give a general introduction to the idea of Yeish, because one of the most fundamental ideas related to Metzia is the issue of Yeush. So we'll start from the beginning. The Torah tells us in Sefer Devarim, Lo sira sharachicha o esayon nidachim v'yisalamta mehem. You should not see someone's animal, wandering around, clearly lost, and hide from it. I mean, hide your face from it, pretend you don't see it. Rather, hashev teshivim lachicha. You have a mitzvah to do hashavas aveda, to return it. And if you don't know who it belongs to, and the person, or that you know it belongs to, but the person is not available to immediately return it, so what do? You bring it home, and you take care of it, and you guard it until your friend comes asking for it. V'chein ta'aseh l'chamoro, v'chein ta'aseh l'simlaso, v'chein ta'aseh l'chol avedis l'chicha. Very interesting pasuk. Right? What's so interesting about that pasuk? And you should do the same thing for his donkey, and you should do the same thing for his clothing, and you should do the same thing for anything else that he lost. Asher tov v'mimenu matzasa lo suchal l'salem. Now you can't hide from it, you got to do the mitzvah of hashavas aveda. So it's a little bit strange that the Torah goes out of its way to not only tell us that there's a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, and by the way, a los haseh, what's a los haseh? Not being misalim from it. So aside from that, which we have a few places, an haseh and a los haseh, it gives examples. And, it very clearly gives an example of a simla, a shor, a seh, a chamor, and it also gives a general statement, kol aveda. Any aveda. So we'll have to see exactly what that does for us, and the Mishnayos are going to already deal with that. What does that tell us? Whenever there are specific examples given and a general statement is made, so we have to figure out what that tells us about the nature of the mitzvah. So we're going to see, we're already going to allude to it today, that on Daf Chav Zayin Amin Aleph, that Hashavas Aveda is only on things that are like a simla. The Mishnah focuses on the idea that simla is mentioned. And what does it mean that it's like a simla? So if you peek ahead to Daf Chav Zayin Amin Aleph, you'll see that the Mishnah tells us, Af ha-simla ha-isa b'chal kalelu. Simla is part of kol avedas chicha, so it's obviously part of the general rule of aveda. V'lo miyatzis, so why was it singled out? L'hakish ele lo melcha, to make a hekish, and to tell you the following. Ma simla miyuchedas, sheyesh basimanim, just like clothing typically have a simin to be able to identify it. V'yesh la tovin, and there are people that want it back, that are interested in it. When do you have to announce an aveda if it has those two qualities? It has simanim and it has tovim. So what we're going to talk about today is that second quality. Simanim, we'll see what is a simon, what's not a simon. Okay, the Mishnah deals with it a little bit over here on Chaf Aleph Amin Aleph. But what's that second quality? Yeshla tovim. So how do you understand that? What's yeshla tovim? So if you look at Rashi over there, what does Rashi say? Chaf Zayin Amin Aleph. Yesh latovin, lemutei diadinan bei to miyaish, right? As opposed to something that people were miyaish from. something that you know people are miyayish from. If you look at the previous Rashi, stam simla yesh basimin, right? A simla typically has a simin. V'kol simla yesh la bailim tovinosa, and a simla has people who are going to want it back, they're going to claim it. Sholonasis eli bidei adam, because it had to have been made by somebody, right? It didn't grow from the ground. It was made by somebody. And then Rashi says, velo basim in a hefker. What's he describing over there? Velo basim in a hefker? That there are people that want it. How do I know there are people that want it? Because somebody made this. So somebody made it so that they'll have simanim, but also they'll have tovim. What's the definition of tovim? It's not hefker. So in two Rashis, Rashi tells us, ein latovim, yesh latovim means that the person has not been miyaish, and that it's not hefker. Are those two things the same? Meaning, if one is miyaish, does that mean that it's hefker? If they're not miyaish, means it's not hefker? Or is the word yeish just a fancy hashavas aveda kind of way of saying hefker? But it's really just hefker? Or is the concept of hefker and the concept of yeush in some way different from each other? So we take a look at Rashi in our Mishnah. Let's take a look at our Mishnah first. We got to do the Mishnah, right? So elam etziyo shalom. I'm not going to do it in the fifth grade niggin. You know? Like, I feel like I should. I feel like I'm going to be off key. You know, I don't want to. So what? You do? Go ahead. No? You don't know it. Elam etziyo shalom. So. No, he didn't even learn. He never learned Eilim Metzius. Remember, it wasn't. That's not what they learned in Shana Aleph. Eilim Metzius Shalom. So the following Metzius you get to keep, and Eilim Chayiv LaHachris. And some of them you're going to have to announce you're not going to be allowed to keep. So Eilim Metzius Shalom, Matzah Peros Mefuzarin, Maos Mefuzaros. You find fruits that are scattered, you find money that doesn't have a simen, or you find krichos. Krichos are like bundles of grain. Bereshis Harabim, out there in the Bereshis Harabim, people are, even if the grain was bundled together and had some sort of knot on it or something that would have been able to be an identifying feature, but it's in the Rabim. People are stepping all over it, keeps getting run over by a car. That knot is long gone, right? You're not going to be able to have a simen. And the Bailam are for sure misyaish from such things. V'igulei dvela, if you have dried figs, kikara shel nachtom, loaves of bread that are baked by a professional baker, so it could have been anyone's. It's not like your own private recipe that you shape in your own special way, in the shape of a key or whatever other ridiculous idea you come up with, right? So machrozu shel dagim, or you're selling a string of fish, chaticho shel basar, cuts of meat, v'gizei tzemer al kuchen mimedinasan, cuts of wool that are shorn from sheep, obviously, that are brought from another medina, v'anitzei pishtan, and bundles of flax that are combed, u'lashona shel argaman, and tongues of argaman. What's the difference between argaman and tcheles? Purple and blue, right? You know it's made out of the same dye, though, right? It's just a different dyeing process to make something argaman and to make something tcheles. So in all those cases, we have garments that are dyed argaman and garments that are dyed tcheles from centuries ago, many centuries ago, that have been tested. They're both dyed with the murex dye. So harelu shalom. In all these cases, the guy who finds it, finders keepers, because the bailam is misyaish. There's no simin, and therefore it is like hefker. Divra meir. That's at least the shita of Rameir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda sort of disagrees. Kol sheish bo shinoi chayev lahachris. Anytime there's any sort of shinoi, that's considered a simen, and because it's a simen, you have to be machris. Ketzad, matza eagle ubetoch acheres. You didn't just find an eagle shadvela. Inside, there's a shard of pottery. Who does that? Why would they have put a shard of pottery in the eagle shaldvela? That's unusual. So, or kikar ubetoch amos, a loaf of bread. And sadly, most of the time when you buy bread and you open it up, there isn't like $100 bills inside of it, right? So that's not a normal thing to find. So in such cases, that's enough of a simon according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Shimon Elazar Omer, kol klei anpurya ein chayav lahachris. Any kli that's brand new, it's still got the tags on it. You don't have to be machris. How do I know that the word anpurya means brand new that still has the tags on it? What does the word anpurya mean? So Rashi writes that it's a nutrikan. Rashi on Chav Gimel says that anpurya means ein po re'iyah. So it's just a short way of saying Ein Po Re'iyah. What does Ein Po Re'iyah mean? There's no Tvias Ayin in it. There's no seeing it and recognizing it because you just got it. It's something that's brand new, so you wouldn't have the knowledge of what it is exactly. Now, if you look at Rashi over here, so what does Rashi tell us that's of interest? So Rashi writes, first Rashi, Matzah Peros Mufuzarin. So what's the Mishnah trying to do? It's trying to give us an example of when you don't have to be machruz, when you're allowed to keep it. Scattered peros. You don't have to be machruz. You're allowed to keep it. Says Rashi, why? What did we say? What do you need in order to be chayv in Hashavas Aveda? It needs to have simanim and tovim. So if something that you get to keep obviously doesn't have simanim or tovim, right? So says Rashi, matzah peros mufuzarin, nisya'ashu habaylim mehen. There's yeish. The baylim has given up on them. Kedam b'gemara. Because there's no simanim, the baylim is nisya'ish. And then he just throws in two more words. The hefker hein. And because the Siyashua by them, they're Hefker. Why did you have to do that, Rashi? You know, you could have made me have it. There's a concept called Yayush. It's got nothing to do with Hefker. I don't need to learn a whole sugi of Hefker now. And Yayush is like Hashem Saveh, the concept. Well, he throws in the Hefker hand. If there's Yayush by them, then they become Hefker. Okay, so that opens up a whole discussion, and the discussion that we're going to have today and probably tomorrow. Right, when you're Messiah, or have good truth is, in some of the Achronim, I saw in the back of the Masifta, they quote the Shur of Shmuel or something like that, that says that Rashi just means that they're like Hefker in the sense that you have a Heter Zechiyah, that someone could go and be Zoche in it. But it doesn't really mean Hefker. Rashi's not using precise halachic terminology over here. But it's hard because, you know, he was Rashi, so like he's known to use precise halachic terminology. So it's hard to understand that, you know, that he was just, you know, just using words that lack halachic meaning. What? Yeah. So difficult. So Tosos not over here. Tosos on Chavzayin Amud Aleph is the Tosos that really goes after Rashi on this. If you look at Tosos on Chavzayin Amud Aleph. So he quotes a Gemara Merubim Babakama, and then he says that from the word simla we learn ma simla de ma simla miyuchad sheyesh basimin ve'ena b'alem misya'ashin ela tovin sheyachziru alem b'simanim. So Tos says, what does ena tovin mean? Or yesh la tovin mean? Yesh la tovin means that there's been no yeyush. Not Hefker. Hefker is a different thing. Yesh told us that there's been no Yesh. So, essentially, what the mission over there was doing was discussing, like we saw, Simla Bechal Haisa. Simla is already an example of Kol Aveidas Achicha. So why does Simla get singled out? To tell me that there's only the Dinei Shavas Aveda if it's Yesh Lo Tovim. So Rashi, Yesh Lo Tovim? Oh, it means that it's not Hefker. So it says, no, Yesh Lo Tovim means that it's That there's been no Yeyush. You know what? It's very mistaven. It has nothing to do with Hefker. Meaning, the Mishnah is telling us, the word Simla is telling us, Chiddush la'alacha. What's the Chiddush la'alacha that the word Simla is telling us? You have a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda when Yesh lo tov. And the flip side of that Chiddush, there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda when Ein Latovim. Now, if you learn like Rashi, Ein Latovim is just a fancy way of saying when the item is Hefker. Oh, big chiddush halacha. You have no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda when the item is Hefker. Of course, you have no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda when the item is Hefker. Why is it of course? There's no one to give it to. There's no owner. Hefker means it's ownerless. If you're going to associate Yesh Latovim and Ein Latovim with being Hefker or not Hefker, it's very difficult to understand what's going on in that Mishnah. Mishnah's being Mechadesh, that when Ein Latovim, oh, now you don't have to worry about Hashem Saveh. Of course you don't have to worry about Hashem Saveh. There's no owner over there. I wouldn't need a pasuk. So Tos says, no, that's not about Hefker. Tos says, this is about Yesh. When Nisya Ashu Abaylam, it's not Hefker. It's yeish, a totally different concept. So now we have to understand where hefker comes from, where yeish comes from, right? And in what way they differ in terms of what they accomplish, right? Or in terms of how they work. Where does the concept of yeish come from? So we just saw, where does the concept of yeish come from? If there was one word in the Torah that teaches us the concept of yeish, what is it? We didn't learn that many words in the Torah today. One word in Chumash. It uses the concept of yeish. Give you a hint, it's the topic of the Mishnah Chav Zayin. Simla. Right? The Mishnah learned from the word Simla. Oh, you know what's unique about a Simla? Is that there are people that are Toveya. Oh, that tells me that if nobody's Toveya, says Tosos, meaning that there's yeish, then there's no Hashem Zaveda. Wow. So the concept of yeush comes from the word simla. And that's what Tosos pretty much emphasizes on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph until he gets to the end where he quotes Yerushalmi that says otherwise. Okay, Yerushalmi has a different makar. Nishavuda mimenu, but it's Matzah Yitzel Kalada, whatever. But the simple reading of this Mishnah says Tosos, simla is where we learn yeush from. Where do we know hefker from in the Torah? So that's a little trickier because we don't really have that in our sugya over here. So hefker appears in a Mishnah, or the source for it seems to appear in a Mishnah in the sixth parak of Maseches Peya. So Maseches Peya is in Seder.
Right.
Good. So Maseches Peya, parak Vav, which is parak Beis Shammai, the Mishnah talks about the following. What if you are mafkir something la'aniyim but not la'ashirim? I want to make something hefker, I don't want some rich guy picking it up. You know, like I sometimes people like will leave in our neighborhood, people leave things by the curb, and if no one picks it up within a day, then we call the special, the sanitation department will come pick it up, right? So sometimes you see Nebuch, you know, the people that are coming around, scrounging through the garbage. But imagine, like, a guy pulls up in his Hummer, and he sends his servant out to look for and he takes it, like, come on, you need to buy your own stuff. Like, what do you? There are poor people that come by that don't have anything, that are looking for scrap metal that they could sell and whatever. That are so let's say I decide I want to make something hefker, but not lashirim, only for aniyim. I put a sign in front of it. You go into the what do they call the room? The kitchen right next to the Beis Medrash, and there's a box of donuts. They call it the hefker room, and there's a box of donuts, and it says hefker, but only laniyim, only if you're if you don't live in certain neighborhoods or whatever, right? Or hefker if your house is under X amount of square feet or whatever. If you drive a car that's not a fancy Toyota Corolla like Rabbi Leibowitz's car, so something like that. Say whatever the geder of aniyim and ashirim is. Hefker only for those who are not sameach b'chelko. That would be a good social experiment. See people. But you make something only hefker laniyim and not for ashirim. So Beis Shammai holds that it is hefker. You could do such a thing. Hefker is hefker just for aniyim. Beis Hillel says no. Mm-hmm. Hefker is all or nothing. It's either hefker for everybody or it's not hefker. So Beis Hillel says, how do I know this? Based on the pasuk by Shmita. The pasuk by Shmita has an extra word in it. The pasuk says unetashta. It already says tishmetena. Right? So what does tishmetena mean? You have produce growing in your field during Shmita. Tishmetena. You should shmita it. Well, what does that mean?
Leave it.
Right. Let it be. Let people take it. Oh, not only that, unetashta. You should shmita it. Well, you already told me to shmita it. So what's unetashta coming to add? So that's what Beis Hillel learns, that unetashta must tell me the din of hefker in general. And that all hefker is meant to mimic Shemitah. That ma Shemitah bein laniyim bein la'ashirim, just like by Shemitah. When I leave the produce in my field, who's it for? Whoever. Whoever wants to come and take it. That's who it's for. So af hefker is bein laniyim bein la'ashirim. Right? And says the Rosh, that's the source for hefker. The Rosh on the side of the Mishnayos. The major commentaries to Mishnayos in general. If you open up a Yachin Boaz Mishnayos, who are the major commentaries on the Mishnayos? You have the Bartanur on one side, Tosyantiv on the other side. On the bottom, you have Mishra Rishona and some and Yachin Balaz. It's very strong. But in the back of Shas, in the back of your Gemaras, when you open up in Seder Zerayim, what do you find on the side of the Mishnayos and Peah, whatever? So you have the Perish HaRambam on the one side and the Perish HaRash, the Rash Mishans. So the Rash Mishans, you know what Kahati did was a wonderful thing. He read through all of them and just sort of condensed them into a readable summary. But he read through, like, he learned Mishnayos the way they were supposed to be. Like, he read through all of these commentaries. So in the Rash, on the Mishnayos, he says, ah! That's the source for Hefker, Unatashta. Now, if Simla is the source for Yeish, and Unatashta is the source for Hefker, what does that tell you about the relationship of Hefker and Yeish? They're not the same, right? You can't have the same din from two separate psukim in the Torah, right? So it seems that the Pasha Pshat is that they're not the same. You know, the whole drasha of the Mishnah and Peah is obviously built on the idea that a double lashon is unusual and requires darshaning. That happens to be machlokas tanayim in Shas. Familiar with this machlokas tanayim? You're familiar with the term lo dibur Torah el klashon bnei adam, right? So dibur Torah klashon bnei adam is a way of saying that just like people sometimes double down in their language as a way of emphasizing something, you know, they'll say it in four different ways. They'll say it in multiple different ways. They'll find different ways to say the same thing, right? So people sometimes do that. So dibur Torah klashon bnei adam means the Torah does that as well. But we pass like Rabbi Kiva. Lo dibur Torah klashon bnei adam. The Torah does not speak like a person. The Torah speaks like the Torah. And therefore, once you have tishmatena, unetashta becomes totally extra. And it must be there that it's to teach me a drasha. Ah, what's the drasha? Do you the tishmatena? That Hefker should be just like Shemitah. Bein la'aniyim, bein la'ashir. Good. So far, so good. Right? All we said so far is that Rashi says Yeyush is Hefker. Toso says, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeyush is Yeyush, Hefker is Hefker. And we said, okay, well, we're going to have to figure out what the difference between them is. They seem the same. Yeyush is giving up my rights to it. Hefker is giving up my rights to it. They seem the same. So what are the differences? So all we've done so far is we've shown that they come from different psukim. That according to Tosfos and the simple reading of the Mishnah and Daf Chav Zayin, Yeush comes from the word Simla. Hefker, according to the Rash Mishans in the sixth parak of Peah, comes from the word Unetashta. Right? These are different sources. Yeah.
What about Shifr Lakem
Heah? What?
What about Shifr Lakem Heah?
Yeah. What about that?
Hefker only to Aniyah.
Right, well, that's a mitzvah in the Torah for that the Torah is mezakeh them to aniyim only, but it's not. I can't take an item that belongs to me and make it hefker only for aniyim. But yeah, there are certain things that only aniyim are entitled to, just like there are certain things that only kohanim are entitled to, right? And certain things that leviim are entitled to, but not yisraelim, right?
Yeah, so but those feel a bit different because like you drop them and then they become.
Right, but nevertheless, they're dinim in the Torah.
Stuff you set aside.
I hear, but nevertheless, they're dinim in the Torah. Now, there is a famous machlokas, there is a machlokas, machlokas achronim. What does it mean when during Shemitah everything's hefker, right? During Shemitah, your produce, everything growing in the field is hefker. What does that require me to do? Let's assume me means I own a field in Israel, right? Not actual me. So, right, the other argument. Let's say he has a vegetable garden in now he's in Beit Shemesh Gimel, I think. Right, so he's got a vegetable garden growing there in Beit Shemesh. Right, so what does he have to do come Shemitah? Okay, now certainly not working, but the stuff that grows there, what does he have to do with it? It's got to be hefker. What does that mean? Does that mean what's called in Chazal in a different context in Bavmitzia? Actually, afka asa demalka, Hashem made it hefker. You don't have to do anything; just leave it there. It's already hefker. God took care of it. Hashem declared Hashem aratzim la. Everything belongs to Hashem, and He declared every seventh year it becomes hefker. Or you have to be mafker. You have a mitzvah to make it hefker. This is a major machlokas in the Achron. Mabit holds Afgasa de Malka. Mabit wrote what sefer? He wrote a commentary on the Rambam. Anyone know? Kiryat Sefer. Mabit wrote a sefer called Kiryat Sefer. It's like a Kesef Mishnah type sefer, but like Rav Shechta points out, not as good as the Kesef Mishnah. So the Kesef Mishnah became more popular. So the Mabit wrote, Mabit holds Afgasa de Malka. Beis Yosef says, no. You have a responsibility to be mafkir. Don't think it happens automatically. You have a mitzvah that when stuff grows in your field during Shemitah, to announce in front of three people, I am making this hefker. That's your mitzvah of Shemitah. I don't know. You have to verbalize hefker. Probably you have to verbalize it too. You could probably then put up a sign. All of this has already been made hefker. And then everyone will know. What? Tweeting it. Okay. Depends how many followers you have. So, this actually connects to being Mekadesh Nisha. We should bring everything back to Kiddushin. We have Chasanim in the class program. So, what do you need to do to perform an act of Kiddushin? Okay? I'm looking at three of you in particular. What do you need to do in order to perform an act of Kiddushin? Two Edim. What do you need? Kesef, right? Or Shava Kesef. We don't do Kesef, right? You should not take out your wallet and pull out Kesef, right? You should take out Shava Kesef. Typically, the Shava Kesef should be a ring, right? That's what it's typically. Okay, so you take, but it's got to be worth something. And that's why the Masada Kedushin will ask you under your chuppah, is it yours? And then he'll ask the Eidin, is this worth a Shava Pruta? Because it's got to actually be worth something. So it's got to be worth a Shava Pruta. Wonderful. Okay. Mekadesh Nisha with a Shava Pruta. So the mission discusses, what if I steal a ring from the Kala and then give it back to her B'toras Kiddushin? Oh, this looks so familiar. No. I guess I know your taste. So the Kiddushin is not valid. Why is the Kiddushin not valid? Because you failed the Bechina, right? The first test, the first question under the Chuppah is this your ring? And your answer is, no, it's hers, right? I stole it from her. So that's no good. What if, Mishnah Kiddushin discusses, what if you take Peros Shavis, Shemitah produce, you Mekadesh Nisha with Peros Shavis, from her field? Ooh. She has a field, it's Shemitah here. Hefker! So you go and you take the Peros Shavis, and then you the Sagan just says, you have the ring? You say, nope, but I got this bushel of wheat. with this bushel of wheat. So, and it's Perish Vies from her field. So, the Mishnah says, Mekudeshes. Because you're Zochim in Hefker. Comes along in Minchas Chinuch, there's like, Minchas Chinuch makes every mitzvah, he finds lamdus relating to Nashim as far as Chiyuv HaMitzvah is concerned. Right? There's always lamdus when you bring women into the picture. So the Minchas Chinuch says like this. Says, wait a second. How does stuff become Hefker during Shemitah? Machlokas. If you say that it's Afgasa D'Malka, like the Mabit, it's automatic, it becomes Hefker. Why? Because God said it's Hefker. And the owner of the field has to do nothing. So I understand. I go into a woman's field. I take her stuff. I take the stuff that grew there. It's already hefker because Hashem made it hefker, and then now it's mine. Now I'm a Kaddish Nisha with it. If it's worth the Shavu Pruta, great. That works. According to the Mabit, it's great. According to Beis Yosef, how does stuff become hefker during Shemitah? She has right. The owner of the field has to be mafkir. What kind of mitzvah is that? Are women chayiv in that mitzvah of being mafkirin? No, what are women pater from? Mitzvah shasman grama. How often when does this mitzvah come? Is there a timing of this mitzvah? Yes, only every seventh year. Is it a mitzvah saseh? Yes. Tishmetena, unetashta, make it hefker. It's connected to a lo sase as well. So you can say, so one possible answer is that this is connected to the broader halacha of Shemitah, that you're not allowed to plow, and you're not allowed to, and Losa says they're certainly obligated. Very nice. Also, what? And then they'd be chayv in the assay. Similar to Shabbos and matzah, right? That sometimes you have two mitzvahs that are two sides of the same coin. And we say, well, if they're chayv in the los assay, it's like they're not allowed to do malach on Shabbos. Mele the chayv in zechira Shabbos, also the chayv in kiddush. They're not allowed to eat chametz. Mele the chayv to eat matzah. But those are both explicit drushas in the Gemara. The Gemara never makes a drasha, as far as I know, that anyone who's chayv in the los assay is shemitah, is automatically chayv in the assay is shemitah. So Milchus Chinuch says, I don't know, maybe women are pater from this mitzvah, if this mitzvah sase exists, of making it hefker, maybe they're pater from that. And if that's the case, then the guy can't be Mekadish Lisha with the Shemitah produce that he got from her own field. So, truth is, one answer might be like you're saying. So, like Judah's saying, the birthday boy? Is it true? Happy birthday. Well, number 22. Ooh, wow. Okay. So, you've been drunk for a year already. Now you can drink. Okay. But not so much of chasanas. What was I saying? Another answer of Shechtarofen likes to say, another possible answer of Minchas Chinuch's Kasha, is that it could be that even though it's a mitzvah shazman grama, women are chayiv. I shouldn't say even though. It's not a mitzvah shazman grama. Who says that making yourself hefker during Shemitah is a mitzvah shazman grama? What's the mechayev of being machkir Shemitah produce? Having Shemitah produce. That's the mechayev. When do you have Shemitah produce? Only during Shemitah. Meaning the stuff growing in your field is only Shemitah produce during Shemitah. But it's one step removed. It's not that comes the Zman of Shemitah, now I have a chiv to be mafkir things. It's no. Comes Shemitah produce into my field, I need to be mafkir. What determines whether it's Shemitah produce in my field? The Zman of Shemitah. As long as you could wedge a little bit, make a little bit of space between the Zman and the mitzvah, and put another step in between it, that's enough to say that it's not a mitzvah shazman grama. The Kedushas Perishvias is what determines, is what generates your chiv to be mafkir. You know where people say this part? You know what mitzvah people say is a very similar idea? There's a Rabban in Kedushin that was made famous by some of the Achronim. The Rabban talks about mitzvah sasesha ainav man grama. And he says, for example, a good example of mitzvah shalo as man grama? What? No. I mean, he mentions that too, but I think he says, Sfiras HaOmer. Mitzvah She'ein Azman Grama. So everyone goes berserk. Ramban, what are you talking about? You know, if you had to, like, textbook definition of Mitzvah She'ein Azman Grama, right, that you would imagine Sfiras HaOmer would be, that would be number one on the list. What? So there's a Chuvas Divrei Malkiel who says, it's a typo in the Ramban. It said Samachei Ayin in the Ramban, and it really meant Seder HaAvoda, but whatever moron was was putting the print together for the printing of the Ramban, saw Samachei Ayin and, you know, just wrote out Sfiras HaOmer. You have typos like that sometimes in Sfar, where people clearly, I just came across one recently. I forgot what it was. I just came across one over Pesach. We're like, I see why they wrote that totally inappropriate phrase right there, meaning the one that doesn't fit at all into this context, because it was a Rashi Tevis that they misunderstood. Rav Shechter once had, used to take notes in Rav Salvechik Shirim. He had legendary notes in Rav Salvechik Shirim, all these Svarim that are coming out from his notes in Rav Salvechik Shirim. So, but he's also Rav Shechter, so like, in addition to taking notes, he would often put in brackets additional marmakamos, and write Vav Dalet Ayin as Vidas Atmi. That this is my own, this is not to distinguish it from what was Rav Salvechik started. If he had his own idea, he'd put it in brackets and write Vav Dalet Ayin, Vidas Atmi. Rav Shachter has a very curvy handwriting, so his Dalet looks a little like a Tzadi. So someone once stole Rav Shachter's notes on Hilchas Tzitzis, and they published it without his permission. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein had to run around there at Yisrael buying, confiscating every copy. Someone had stolen Rav Shechter's notes and published it, and the moron took every Vav Dalet Ayin and said, I'm going to make it easy for people, spelled it out. It's Sarachim. Because they assumed that the Dalet was a Tzadi. So like you're reading the same, it doesn't even make sense. Like, and Rav Shechter's right. And then, and this idea of salvation fits beautifully with this Akron and that Akron. Where's the Tzarachim? Everything seems to fit. Everything seems to make sense. But sometimes when you you break up the Rashi Tevis, so people could make a mistake. But what's the what are the Achronim saying in this Ramban, other than Tal Sofer? How do you explain? How could the Ramban possibly call Sfiras Omer a mitzvah she'ein hazman grama? It's crazy. Of course, it's mitzvah hazman grama. So what do they say? What's the mechayev of Sfiras Omer? Carbon Omer. Carbon Omer is Mechayev and Sfiras Omer. If you assume a Sfira Bizman is Ezra Rabbanan, which by the way is the way we pass it. Right? We pass in Sfira Bizman is Ezra Rabbanan, not Torah. So why not? Why is it not Torah? Because we don't have the Carbon Omer. The Mechayev of Sfira is the Carbon Omer. What's the Mechayev of the Carbon Omer?
Zman.
Second day of Pesach. Mima Pesach Shabbos. Exactly. The Zman is the Mechayev of the Carbon. But the Carbon is the Mechayev of the Sfira. You made that wedge. One little step between the Zman and the Mitzvah, it's no longer Zman Grama. That's how the Achronim suggest. So a similar idea, you could say, over here. By the way, because we pass him in Sfiras Omer B'Zman Ezez Rabbanan, Rav Sturbach points out that in the little L'Shem Yichud Mihi Ratzon, right before Sfira, it says that Hini Michud Muzum L'Chaim Mitzvah Shal Sfiras Omer Kamosha Kasa B'Torah L'Sfarat L'Chaim Machas Shabbos Kulei. So Rav Sturbach says, that's Sheker. You're not being mekayim the mitzvah kamosh kasa b'Torah. So even if you're into l'shem yichuds or whatever, and you like saying that stuff, so but nevertheless, yet you have to be honest. So he said he proposes changing the phrasing to mishum shene'emar. See, when you say kamosh kasa b'Torah or shene'emar, that means it's d'oraisa. The Gemara tells us, we just had in Daf Yomi, Maseches Bechoros, and elsewhere in Shas as well, mishum shene'emar means it's loosely based on the pasuk, but it's really a din d'rabbanan. So he suggests adding Mishum Shemar. Okay, but getting back to us over here. What is the... We're trying to figure out the difference between Hefker and Yeush. We've shown that they come from two different Pesukim. We've shown that the Pesuk that Hefker comes from is Shemitah. So we've discussed a little bit about the nature of the Hefker of Shemitah. Whose Chiyuv is it? Can you be Mekadesh Anisha with it, with her own Shemitah produce? Fine. The Rosh in the sixth parak of Peah quotes Yerushalmi, like we said, that they're different concepts. That Yeush and Hefker are different concepts. They come from different Pesukim. Hefker, again, comes from what Pasuk? Hefker. Natashta. Yeush is based on Simla. Good. There's a concept in Shas called Shalom uberishuso, Shalom ve'eno uberishuso. We had this in the first parak a little bit. Tuck for coming, right? What's the concept? Let's say I'm the owner of the item, but I have no control over it. I don't have it. So can I make it hagdish? Right? Can I be matish the item? So the Gemara in Dav Zayim here quotes Rabbi Yochanan. It's really a sugim b'bekama Dav Samach Tes Dav Ayin. Where Rabbi Yochanan has a machlokes with Reish Lakish about something that's Shali ve'eno bereshusi. Am I the full bialim over such a thing? So everybody agrees that such a thing, you know, that there is such a concept, that something could be mine but not bereshusi. So, for example, the Gemara talks about if you're gonev min aganev, you steal something from a ganev, you're pater from kefel. Who would you pay kefel to if you were chayv in kefel? The owner, right? It's not shaykh that you'd pay kefel to the ganev, right? So if you're gonev min aganev, you pay kefel to the owner, but you don't. You know why? Because the owner, while it was shalo at the time that you stole it, but what? Zeinu b'reshuso. So he's not entitled to kefel. The ganev sheni takes from the ganev rishon. It's not shalo of the ganev rishon, and it's not b'reshuso of the owner. So the nignev's bailus is sort of incomplete. The owner's bailus is sort of incomplete because it's Eino Bereshuso. So in order to have complete bailus over something, to the point where you could do with it as you please, and you'll be entitled to the kefil payments from it and all that, it has to be both Shalom and Bereshuso. The question is, can you be Makdish or Mafkir something that's Eino Bereshuso? So we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan, that Gezav Lonus Yashua Bailum, if something is stolen and the Bailam has not yet had Yeyush, Shneim Einim Yichalim Lakdisha. Neither of them are able to be Makdish it. Zeh Lefi Sheino Shelo. The Ganav can't be Makdish it. Why? It's not his. Vizeh Lefi Sheino Bereshuso. And who else can't be Makdish it? The owner, because it's Eino Bereshuso. So in order to be makne, you have to have ownership and have a bereshuso. When you have an aveda, a lost object, right? So is it shalo? Is it shalo? Your object, meaning you lost it. Yeah. You're the owner, it's shalo. Not only that, even if you don't know where it is, so long as no one else has taken it for themselves, like a ganav who takes something for himself, it's even considered bereshusa. Stolen metaltalim is eino bereshusa. Why? Because the other person took it for himself. There's what's called, well, what do I mean took it for himself? What's halachic terminology? A kinyan ganav. Right? He makes a kinyan on it in the sense that it now becomes bereshusa. It doesn't become his, but it becomes bereshusa when he makes a kinyan ganav. There's no such thing as a kinyan aveda. If the person is trying to steal it, then it's kinyan geneva. If he's just watching it for you, it's called bereshuso. If I have a shliach watching my stuff, that's still called bereshusi. So if there's a good Samaritan who found a lost object, and he wants to return it to me, and he just hasn't found me yet, it is still bereshusi. Right? When does it cease to be bereshusi? What? After Yeyush. Meaning, now we're starting to get to it. The difference between Efker and Yeyush a little bit, no? What happens? An Aveda is mine, but it's Eino Bereshusi, but it's, and it's Bereshusi. When I'm a Yeyush on it, right? When I'm a Yeyush on it, it ceases to be Bereshusi. Okay? It's no longer in my rishos. Now, we have to dig a little bit deeper over here. Yeah, let's just say it this way. There is a Rambam that discusses a Sfina Sha'abda Biyam, a boat that's lost at sea. And the Rambam seems to assume that if it's lost, it's Eino Bereshuso. If an Aveda were really Eino Bereshuso, then L'chori you shouldn't be able to be Miyayish. Right? Meaning, yeah. What's all this study? If somebody's Eino Bereshuso, I'm not allowed to be makdish it. I'm not allowed to be makdish it. I can't do anything with it. L'chora, I shouldn't be allowed to be miyayish on it either if something is Eino Bereshuso. Only if it's still Bereshuso does Yeyush even take effect. L'chora. But let's get down to at least start the discussion of the real difference between Yeyush and Efker. There's a sugya toward the end of Maseches Chulin, in Perek Shiluach HaKein, Daf Kuf Lamed Tes. The Gemara has a din that if somebody's makdish chickens and then the chickens run away, right? A makdish chickens, what does it mean? A makdish it? It now belongs to Beis HaMikdash. And then they run away. And the Gizbar can't catch them. He wasn't trained. He was trained, he's an accountant, right? The Gizbar of Hekdish. He's not trained to chase after chickens. So he has no idea how to catch a chicken. So the Gemara over there in Perek Shulach HaKein tells us that if it's Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, then Paka Kedushasa. If the chickens were given to Hekdish, just, you know, so that Hekdish can sell them and use the money to replace the tiling on the floor or, I don't know, the windows or something, whatever they need, painting, paint job, whatever it needs, then it's paka kedusha goes away. But if it's kachay mizbeach, then they remain kadosh. What does kachay mizbeach mean? That it's going to be a carbon. It's going to be used as an actual carbon, right? So then it's it remains kadosh even though it ran away. So Tosos over there in Chulin Kuf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph says shamin mehach. We see from here that avazim v'tarnagolim shel chulin, if you have chickens of chulin, shemardu babaleim, that run away, v'hol chulem, havalu hefker, they're hefker, v'kala machzik bem zachabem, and whoever wants them, whoever grabs them, owns them. Why? because it's exactly the same thing that the Mishnah is saying over there, that if it belongs to Hagdish and it runs away and it's not Kedushas Mizbech, it's Hefker. That any Nechasim that run away from their Bailim, they become independent. You're no longer the owner, they become Hefker. And that's why Katshe Bet Gabayis, they run away, they no longer belong to Hagdish, and therefore it's Hefker. Right? So Tosfos says, how can something become Hefker? So something can become Hefker by you making it Hefker, or in certain rare circumstances, it can make itself Hefker. How can it make itself Hefker? Yeah, it runs away and says, I'm not coming back. Right? Your dog runs away and you're like, hey, come back. And he says, no. And he keeps on running away. And you can't catch him. He's faster than you. So that became Hefker. How did it become Hefker? Because it's not in your Rishos, says Tosfos. And that's exactly what happens to Hagdish. The chickens run away from Hagdish. Gizbar can't catch it. They became Hefker. So then why is Katshe Mizbeach different? Why when Katshe Mizbeach runs away, doesn't that become Hefker? Why don't we say Paka Kedusha, so the Kedusha goes away? So we see that there's got to be a fundamental difference between Kedushas Mizbeach and Kedushas Beit HaGavayis, and this is going to be a mafteach that's going to open up our whole sugya. When there's Katshe Beit HaGavayis, it's only Kodesh so long as Hekdesh owns it. Its Kedusha is a function of ownership. I'll say it again. Kedusha of Katshe Beit HaGavayis is a function of ownership. If Hekdesh owns it, it's holy. If Hekdesh doesn't own it, it's not holy. And therefore, when it becomes Hefker, not holy. Katshe Mizbeach, the Kedusha is not a function of Bailus. It's a function of being Omed LaHakrava, that it's meant to be a korban. It was destined to be a korban. Even if it runs away, yeah, what happens when it runs away? It's no longer owned by Hagdish. I don't care though. Katshe Mizbeach, that's not where it got its Kedusha from. It got its Kedusha from being Omed LaMizbeach. And this explains, Tosfos and Baba Kama points out, a stira between two Gemaras. There's a lot of difference between Ganavan and Gazlan. So there's one Gemara says that if let's say I steal something. So let's say I'm Tavach Umachar. What do I have to do? Pay Dalet Vehe, right? What if instead of Tavach Umachar, I give it to Hekdesh? Right? So one Gemara says, Pay Dalet Vehe. Giving it to Hekdesh is just like Tavach Umachar, it's just like Machar, let's say. What difference does it make? Mali Machar lehedyot, Mali Machar lehegdish. What difference does it make whether you sold it to Hedyot or you sold it to Hegdish? Either way, you transferred its ownership to somebody else. But there's another Gemara that says, no, you didn't do anything if you gave it to Hegdish. Meikara Tura du Ruvain, Vahashta Tura du Ruvain. It was the ox of Ruvain and it remains the ox of Ruvain. Nothing happened to it. When you gave it to Hegdish, you didn't sell it to anybody. So Tosfos points out which type of Hekdesh. That's how you reconcile them. If you're talking about Katshe Beit HaGavayis, where the Kedusha is a function of ownership, as soon as I give it to Hekdesh, so now I'm going to be Chayv Dal Vei. But if you're talking about Katshe Mizbeach, where the Kedusha is not a function of ownership at all, so if I'm Makdesh it, Meikara Tura de Ruvain, Hashta Tura de Ruvain. So this is the fundamental difference between these two types of Hegdish. But this is going to help us. This is going to help us. This idea that when something runs away and you have no control over it, it becomes Hefker. It becomes ownerless. And therefore, even if it belonged to Hegdish, Hegdish no longer owns it. Right? It becomes Hefker. And that's going to help us understand Hefker as opposed to Yeush. And Beis Hashem will finish up that circle tomorrow and move on from there.